About a half hour ago, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals found Proposition 8, the ballot measure passed by California voters in 2008, which made same-sex marriage illegal, to be unconstitutional. We're joined now by Professor Kenji Yoshio of the New York University School of Law. Welcome to our show.
Thanks so much for having
me. I'm sorry,
me,
Yoshino, we left out an N in writing your name there. Forgive me. Today's ruling states Proposition 8 serves no purpose and has no effect other than to lessen the status and human dignity of gays and lesbians in California and to officially reclassify the relationships and families as inferior to those of opposite sex couples. That is, isn't that a rather broad ruling? Or is that, or would you say that's narrow?
It's actually a quite narrow ruling. So first of all, this is a 2-to-1 ruling. Stephen Reinhart was the author, and he's known as a liberal lion on the Ninth Circuit. So the big debate running up to this landmark decision today was whether he would go very broad, thereby increasing the chances that he would be overruled, or whether or not he would do something more parsimonious. And despite the language that you've just read, he went the narrow route. And the reason that this decision is very self-consciously narrow is that it really rests on facts that are specific, at least for now, to California. So what Reinhart said is that you cannot give a right and then take it away. In other words, there are 18,000 same-sex couples in California now who are legitimately married because they got married within that narrow window under which the California Supreme Court gave them that right. And when in the election of November 2008, the people of California took away that right. And what Reinhart is essentially saying is it's kind of crazy to say those 18,000 same-sex couples have valid marriages, but if one of them would, say, get divorced, they couldn't even remarry the person that they were originally married to. So what he's saying is that there's an irrationality in giving the right and then taking away the right that needs to be supported by some rational basis. And then he canvasses a series of rational bases that are potential rationales and finds them to be wanting, says nothing but animus is present here, and then strikes it down.
Do you think that this decision was written with an eye to the U.S. Supreme Court, which I'm sure will be hearing an appeal?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, all eyes are not only on the Supreme Court, but perhaps more particularly on Justice Kennedy, who was the swing vote on that court with respect to these issues in particular and constitutional issues more generally. The majority opinion made a great fanfare of deploying a case from 1996 as its main precedent. And that precedent was Romer versus Evans, in which Justice Kennedy, writing for the majority, struck down a similar initiative in Colorado that took away rights that were granted to protect LGBT individuals.
But this only applies to California, not the complete Ninth Circuit?
Well, what's interesting is that the ruling is for the Ninth Circuit, but it only pertains to the a fact scenario that obtains in California. So in other words, if another state in the Ninth Circuit were to say, okay, we want to grant individuals marriage rights and then to take it away. So let's say that Washington State, which is on the road to doing same-sex marriage, does same-sex marriage, and then a popular initiative is launched in order to rescind that right, this opinion would be binding on Washington as well and prevent it from doing that.
This case was an appeal of a 2010 decision by Judge Walker Vaughn, which found that gays and lesbians have a right to marry a person of their choice. The Ninth Circuit issued a stay on his ruling until it could decide. So does today's ruling mean that gay marriages in California will begin again soon?
No, this ruling, too, is going to be held in abeyance until there's a final resolution. So,
which means it's going to go to the Supreme Court?
Well, almost certainly, whether late or soon. I think that the only question is whether or not the Ninth Circuit will take this in bank, which means that a larger panel. Usually it means the entire bench of a circuit. Here's the appeal, but for circuits that have more than 15 judges, the entire bench doesn't need to hear the appeal. So in California, it's 11. So basically, you're taking an appeal from a 3-judge panel to an 11-judge panel, and that's within both the discretion of the parties to file, and then within the discretion of the judges on the circuit as to whether or not to hear that in-bank appeal. So if that happens, that could actually add another year before it gets to the Supreme Court. Otherwise, it will go up to the Supremes most likely next year.
How significant is the fact that it was a 2-1 ruling rather than a 3-0 ruling?
Well, I think it's interesting because it did break on partisan lines. Hawkins and Reinhart, who are in the majority, are both Democratic appointees. Randy Smith, who was writing the dissent, was a Republican appointee, a George W. Bush appointee. I don't want to make too much of that because Judge Von Walker, who you mentioned earlier, was himself a Republican appointee, and also because Judge Smith's dissent was actually very, very temperate. He says, you know, the standard here is very low. If there's any rational basis that we can conceive of for why the proponents of Prop 8 would want to have this ballot initiative and why the voters of California would vote for it, then that's enough to sustain the amendment. And what he said was a desire to incentivize what he called responsible procreation among heterosexual couples, and also to pursue what the people of California thought of as the ideal family form, you know, a mother and father who are biologically related to their child, were at least colorably rational interests. And so this wasn't mere animus on the part of the individuals who voted for Prop 8.
Was it one of the issues that Judge Vaughn should have recused himself from ruling on the case because he's a gay man with a longtime partner? Did the judges rule on that?
Yes, they did. And it's actually Von Walker, so it's Judge Walker. And he indeed came out after he issued his ruling, as you said, in August of 2010, as a gay man who was in a relationship. And a motion was filed that he should have recused himself from the case. And that was denied, and an appeal was taken from that denial. His successor in the district court denied it. And you're right that that was an issue in this case. The majority very swiftly dispenses with that and says that the district court ruled correctly, that Walker did not have a particular interest in this case that would distinguish him from, you know, a judge who was ruling on a civil rights case who belonged to the minority group. And with respect to that particular, it was a unanimous decision because Randy Smith's dissent only went to the issue that we were talking about earlier. So it was actually a unanimous decision with respect to the fact that Von Walker did not need to recuse himself.
Just one more thing. Polls indicate that the public is a lot more open to the idea of gay marriage now than it was even when the vote on Prop 8 was taken. Do you think that's an unstated factor in how court rulings in the future will be decided?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons that there was a great deal of discussion about the timing of when to go to the Supreme Court with the issue of same-sex marriage is that for all of these claims about how the Supreme Court is a counter-majoritarian body, the Supreme Court doesn't very often get that far out ahead of public opinion. We now see in poll after poll that a majority of Americans are for marriage equality. If you look at the younger generation, over 70% of people who are between 18 and 34 are for marriage equality. And so I think this is definitely going to be, as you say, an unspoken premise, which will form the backdrop against which future litigation on this issue will take place.
I've been speaking with Professor Kenji Yoshino of New York University School of Law about the decision just a little over a half an hour ago by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and a 2-1 vote to overturn Proposition 8. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Leonard.